Get ready for a transformation.
But in this kingdom, we start growing. We are replacing those carnal thoughts with the word of God. Our minds are renewed to the word of God. At that time, glory, glory, glory. So when we are speaking from knowledge. Or you wake up and say, "Hey, bonga fish and gari." Glory to God! I took it in the dream. I will never take it in life. In the name of Jesus.
Say, "I'll never be poor."
Jesus Christ. Pay attention to everything I'm going to show you.
Another life-changing moment with Apostle Peters.
Three extremely dangerous sins. Now, somebody say, "I already know that one of those sins will be fornication." No, it's not. Fornication is dangerous. Now, some people think that fornication is the worst sin in the world, amongst all the sin. Now, sin is sin. And with God, God will judge all sins alike. But the reason why some are more dangerous than the others is because of the consequences that they bring. Some of the ways they affect us here. And in fact, the Bible says, though you are a Christian and you may make heaven, but the Bible says for some of these sins, you will be judged. In other words, they may make you lose your reward. Okay? So fornication is bad in itself. It's so bad that the Bible says that it's a sin against your body. That does not mean that it's not a sin against the Lord. It's a sin against the Lord, but it's a sin against your body in that it may destroy your body and invite some things into your body. Okay, but we are not talking about fornication. So you say, "What's that?" All right, it might just be some things that you, in your heart, you must have trivialized, or you just think them, they are not serious sins. But in the kingdom of God, to God, how does God see them, and what are the things that God has said about them? So that's how we know that they are dangerous indeed. Glory to God. Okay, so the first one is the sin of unbelief. The sin of unbelief. Somebody say, "Is that a sin?" Of course it's a sin, according to the Bible. Okay, so let me begin to show that to you. First, unbelief is a sin against the Son of God, Jesus. It's a sin against the Son of God, Jesus. How is that? Why? Because it's simply a rejection of the gospel. You see? If you don't believe, then you are rejecting the gospel. Let me show that to you. 1 John chapter number 5 verse 10. 1 John 5 verse 10. Kahanda so prekedosi gahati. "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar." You see, you're calling God a liar. "Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son." Can you imagine this? So every time you don't believe, you are saying, "God, you are a liar." Okay, now, one of the records, let's look at, record means testimony. The testimony that God has given of his Son, Jesus Christ. I want to read this again. "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record, the testimony that God gave of his Son." The Bible says that God gave testimony of Jesus Christ. God himself testified about Jesus Christ. Next verse. "And this is the testimony that God hath given to us eternal life." This is clearly written in the Bible that God has given to us eternal life. If you doubt this, you see, it's called the sin of unbelief. Because what you're trying to say is that you don't really believe what Jesus did for you. You don't really believe it. You don't. And that's why. Okay, look at this. "And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." Period. So, what are you going to do? Believe your own thing or believe what God has said? So, you have to believe this. So, every time you doubt God, you are sinning. Either he's giving you a word as a word of prophecy, or he's giving you a word from the scriptures, or he's talking to you through a man of God, or he's talking to you in the corner of your room and you doubt him. Actually, it's a sin. That's why the Bible says without faith is impossible to please God, which means that your unbelief displeases God. Now, this is not like the sin, just like the sin that will just take you to hell. Of course, it will take to hell. I'll get there shortly. But also, you are standing against what Jesus has done for us. And yet, he paid so much to get this good news, this whole package across to us. I want to show you more. Okay. Next. The sin of unbelief is dangerous, extremely dangerous, because it leads to condemnation. It leads to condemnation. Mark chapter number 16, reading from the 15th verse. Jesus himself was once speaking there. So let's Mark 16, 15th verse. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Next verse. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned, shall be condemned. Why is he going to be condemned? Because he was not baptized? No. Remember what he said. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not. He doesn't say he that believeth not and is not baptized. That's not what he says. He that believeth not shall be damned. So what leads to damnation? Unbelief. In this case, somebody...
You need to know this. Did you know that the primary reason people go to hell is because of what they didn't believe? And the primary reason people make heaven is because of what they believe. Did you ever know that? I said the primary reason. So the reason why men go to hell, that's what he's trying to say. The reason why they are damned is because they didn't believe. Believe in who? In Jesus. John chapter number 3, reading from the 15th verse. Okay. Read it, everybody. Want to go? So just for believing in him, he says, you were separated not to perish. If you believe in him, you will not perish. It's a law. Should not perish. For believing in Jesus, you should not. I would never perish in the name of Jesus. You should not perish, but have eternal life. Okay, next verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that anybody whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Without this everlasting life, you cannot have everlasting life. Do you understand that? Without Zoe, you cannot have everlasting life. In other words, without the life of God, you cannot end up with God. That's what he's simply saying. I've explained this before, how the word eternal life and everlasting life are used. Okay, it's the same thing. But sometimes in the context of what he says everlasting life. When he's talking about living forever, he uses this as everlasting life. But sometimes when it's not necessarily that way, it just says eternal life, meaning the life of God that we carry in us. Next verse now. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. This should make you happy. What do you think? Like some people condemn the world today. The Bible says God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world. Some people think that's what he did. No, that's not what he did. But that the world through him might be saved. That's why we don't have the message of condemnation. We don't preach people into hell. No, that's not why Jesus came. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth, that word again, he that believeth not, that's unbelief, is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Can you see the reason why you have to preach to the Muslims too? Can you see the reason why? Because this is scripture. If this is not true, then your being born again is not true. This is right there. He says, for not believing in the name of the Son of God, he says they are condemned already. That's God talking. Now, I will tell you something one time, not now, maybe another time, about the Muslims. I will tell you something about it some other time. Next verse, but not today. And this is the condemnation. This is that condemnation. That light is come into the world. And men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So this is why they are going to be condemned. They didn't believe in Jesus, and that Jesus is light, and that light has come into the world, but they have refused him. They love. You know what this means? To reject Jesus means that you are saying that you do not believe in what Jesus has done for you. That man did not pay for me. He paid for himself and whoever he thinks he paid for. Which means that you will have to pay for yourself. Because what Jesus went to do is, Jesus went to pay for us. He received our condemnation. He was judged for us. He was judged. God held him responsible for our errors. God held him responsible for our own choice. How did we make the choice? We made that choice in Adam. God held him responsible for our sin nature. God put it on him. And God is saying, you are responsible. So all the whips and all the punishments that you are supposed to get, God put it on him and held him responsible and forced him to go through all of that for us. Now, he came out of that with the help of God. And of course, a winner, a victor. And then he got the trophy and gave it to us. I say, for anyone that will believe in what I've done, this trophy is for you. I say, hallelujah. Can you imagine? I didn't even do anything. Somebody did everything for me and still brought me the trophy. And say, yeah, this victory is yours. And then some people still reject it. They say, no, I don't believe in it. You know what that means? That means that they will have to pay for themselves. Because you see, every sinner has to pay. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. So everyone who is a sinner will have to pay. But you are excused and excluded if you believe in Jesus that has done something about it. If you don't, that means you have to go and do it yourself. But you know what? Nobody will be able to do it. That's the reason why they go to hell and they will never come out. But you don't have to. Say, I'm too cute to end up in hell. Come on, one more time. If you don't think you're cute, you'll be want to end up there. But you should say, I'm too, for the ladies, say, I'm too beautiful to end up in hell. Glory to God. All right, so that's the sin. The sin of unbelief. You're sinning against Jesus and all that he has done for you. Terrible. Then, look at it. Why is unbelief dangerous? The last one. It results in unnecessary struggles. It results in unnecessary struggles and robs one of his inheritance and provisions made available in the gospel. You see that? When you don't believe in what God has done, what Jesus has done for you, you find yourself in unnecessary struggles. Do you know there are Christians also who have believed in Jesus, but they have not believed in what he has done? Some of them think that when we begin to, you know, you even hear people say it, that there are pastors that only preach, they preach and tell the people about them. The focus of the pastor is to tell them who they are. They've ignored Jesus. How could you ignore Jesus? Listen to this. You can't talk about who you are in Christ Jesus without elevating Jesus, actually. There is no way. Except if what you're saying is different. If you're teaching the people about their rights, their privileges, and who they are in Christ Jesus, then you'll be elevating Jesus because it's that Jesus that made it happen. One. Number two, when we say you have the authority, it's his authority that you are using. So it points the people to how great his authority is. You see that? So you cannot, and I know what I'm saying. Because I've heard men of God say things like, you know, some people, they only preach and teach the people about themselves. Nobody is focusing on Jesus anymore. They're not focusing on the people and who they are. You can't expect all of us to have the same message. When God calls us, he calls us all differently. Maybe God gave you that message that you should be preaching people into hell. Maybe that's your own message. But I got another one from God. So all of us cannot preach the same thing. Why condemn the other fellow who has just leave them alone for their master?
Some people say, you know something, they preach so much faith, claim it, name it, preaching. No, that's nonsense. I don't believe in it. Okay, stay with what you believe in. If that's what God has called you to. Some people have only one message. It's the message of heaven. Every time they start preaching, the end of the message, they wind up talking about heaven. But that does not mean that we now condemn them. You see, I'm going to stay with my message. I'm not confused. Glory to God. We cannot all preach the same thing. We have what God has given us. All right, so let's look at this. Hebrews chapter number 4, reading from the first verse. Remember what I said on that? It results in unnecessary struggles. Okay, if you don't believe in what Jesus has done for you, you'll just be struggling unnecessarily. Reading from the first, thank you. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. Don't miss this. Do you know there are Christians that are in Christ and yet they are still struggling? They've not entered into rest. Let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Now them that is talking about there are the children of Israel in the wilderness. Okay, he said the gospel was preached to them. Someone say how? Oh, of course, they were told about Jesus, the coming of Jesus. Okay, but the word preached did not profit them. Another lesson: the word of God will not profit you if you don't mix it with faith. Not being mixed with faith, you have to learn to mix what God has given you with faith, whatever word. Why? Because anytime God tells you something, anytime he gives you a word, that's what, if it's from God, it will always be bigger than your mind. So it will take faith for you to accept it. It will take faith. What kind of faith? Childlike faith. To accept it. You see that? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So their problem was, the word came to them, but they did not mix it with faith. For we which have believed do enter into rest. That's me. So how do you come into rest? I will talk about the rest shortly. When you believe, whatever that case is, when you believe about your finances in that area, you come into rest. If it's about academics, when you believe, you walk with God in faith, in that area, you come into rest. That means you cease to struggle. You leave the realm of struggling. As far as that area of your life is concerned, if you have believed, some people, they believe when it comes to their spiritual life. In that area, they know what to do. They have come into rest. Okay, that's what it's talking about now. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished, glory to God, from the foundation of the world. Hey! No, let's pause and meditate on that a little. The works were finished. Do you know from Genesis, God has always revealed that God always finishes everything before he brings man in? Do you know that before you were born, everything you require for the glorious life, the great life, the wealthy life was already made available before you showed up on the scene? The only thing now is for you to now walk in that path. As long as you walk in your path, everything, you meet it there. At every moment you need them, they'll be there. It's only when you go outside that you meet yourself in what you're not supposed to meet yourself. Why? Everything was finished. God already arranged for me before I showed up on the scene. That's me in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, I would never live the life of defeat. That's why I say this. Sometimes there are those who at the beginning, they're trying to find out how to be a success. But thank God at the beginning, it looks like they were struggling at the beginning, trying to find out. But they finally found out and entered. That's the good story. Some others, from the beginning, they struggled till the end. Never enter. No, don't be like that. No, never. Don't be in that group. You may start out small, but the Bible says your latter end shall be great. The Bible says the end of a sin is better than the beginning thereof.
I receive it in Jesus' name. Listen, that's how God focuses. He focuses more on your tomorrow. The glory of this latter house, that's later, shall be greater than that of the former. What does it say? The part of the just is a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. You see? How do you come there? You enter into rest. You are still discovering. We are not the poor. We are the rich, discovering our inheritance. As you are discovering, the more you discover, the more you enter. Because you're going to believe in it. So that's what he's talking about. The works were finished. My greatness is finished, so I'm telling you. From the foundation of the world. I feel like dwelling more on this because it inspires me a lot. How many of you ever studied the book of Genesis? Did you ever study the book of Genesis? If you even never studied, you must have heard. Did you notice what God did? God finished everything first before he now brought forth man. Man was created on the sixth day. On that sixth day, animals too were created. But did you notice what God did? God created the animals first before he now created man. He ensured that none of them will say we are old. None of them will brag and say we are older than you. It's not about we are older than you. It's about the one that comes last to have the dominion. God said your boss is coming, but I got to get you ready for him. So, so God prepared them, prepare everything, and then the man came and just walked in. You can imagine they didn't know they were in there when God was creating him. They just saw somebody just walk into that garden. And immediately they saw him. They say, ah, yes, sir. Our boss is here. Yes, sir. And God so did it. That God, according to the Bible, God gave him the whole world. God said, hey, here. You are in charge of everything here, down here. I'm in charge of everything up there. And God says, I'm not going to interrupt what you're doing. So, as far as the earth is concerned, you are the God. You see what God is doing? Where God is, God says, I am the God in this realm. Of course, I'm still your God, but I want you to be the God down there. Do you understand? Then God says to him, you are the king there. As far as you are down there, you are the king. Listen, a prince can never be a king with the king. Do you understand that construction? As long as a prince is with the father, he would never be a king. But then for that prince to be a king, the father will have to push him to somewhere else and say, go there. Now, when he gets to that place, he cannot be a king. Because two kings don't rule in the same kingdom. Do you understand? So God made us the king here. He says, go there. You're the king. You're the God. And you can imagine Adam having a wonderful time. In fact, God would not even interfere in the things that are going on. God only had to help him. Hey, hear this. Hear this. If you don't want to mess up, don't eat of that tree that is in the midst of the garden. And in fact, there were two trees there. The Bible talks about the tree of life and the one of good and evil. I wonder why he didn't eat of the tree of life. You see, the devil pushed him. And God didn't say, don't eat of the tree of life. God didn't say that. God said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God says, because, I know why I'm saying it all, because the day you eat of it, that's the day you will die. Are you interested in dying? He said, mm-mm. He said, don't eat that one. Okay, so, good. But then he was deceived. Because he had something that Satan always wanted to have. Dominion. And so Satan had to come in. Satan wanted to take charge of the whole world. Think about it. By the way, Satan's story is not important here. Let's talk about this. Think about this. The man, God made everything ready before the man came. And God said, see, life is sweet. Enjoy it. And interestingly, the Bible says that everything God made was pleasant to the eyes. For those of you that think that is not wrong at all for a Christian to live in a poor environment. Not me and you. I refuse to be poor. God wants you to live He wants you to see everything pleasant to the eyes. That's God's standard. That's God's standard. Listen, as a Christian, your estate cannot be, you can't say this is too beautiful. Won't I lose heaven? Because if you say that, when you get to heaven, you will doubt whether that's heaven. If you think like that, when you get to heaven, you say, no, are you sure? This is not hell. Because heaven is so beautiful. It shows you the character of God. Everything pleasant to the eyes.
Let me go further on that. That's why you should learn to look good, brother and sister. And learn to make your wife look good too. And your husband. Say, I'm not yet married. I'm teaching you ahead of time, okay? Let's leave that. All right, next verse now. Okay.
For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. In a certain place. Paul did not remember that scripture, so he said in a certain place. So if you don't remember scripture, you are trying to quote scripture, and you are now saying, oh, but brother so-and-so can quote it very fast. Jesus said, no, don't worry. Paul too did not remember. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. But we can say, in Genesis, the Bible says that. But Paul did not remember. And in this place, again, if they shall enter into my rest. did you see that? Seeing therefore, it remained that some must enter therein. It was reserved for us, I'm telling you. And they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. This is what stops people from entering in. God has given you the word of prophecy, but you are still doubting. Will it happen? Are you sure this thing will still happen with the way things are? No. Unbelief. Next verse. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as they said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. I would never harden my heart. The name of Jesus. For if Jesus, now, an error here in translation, King James says, if Jesus, the reason for this error is because the same word Jesus is the same word Joshua. So is Yeshua translated Jesus. So they thought he was talking about Jesus. Amplified version of this, and other versions too corrected this. This mention of a rest that was not a reference to their entry into Canaan. For if Joshua, you see that? He's talking about Joshua under the Old Testament. Alright, back. So that will not be confusing. Because it's the same word. When you call somebody Joshua today, you're actually calling the person Jesus. Actually, in reality. Okay, the difference is that there is one Jesus that is Jesus Christ. That's the one that has the name with authority invested in. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. That's NKJV now. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest as himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. The word works there can also mean struggles. When you come into rest, into God's rest, you cease from your struggles. You're toiling, you're laboring. Oh God, glory to God. So whatever area, how do you come in? Knowledge. Whatever area of your life that you have this knowledge. Some people are very good when it comes to finances. They are sound in faith. In that area, they have come into rest. So in that area, things are working smoothly for them. Smoothly. But they still got problem with their health. Because in that area of health, they've not come into rest. You see, the word of God is important. Make sure you come into rest on every side. Settle down in rest. Cease from your laboring, your toiling. That's what it's talking about. Next verse. See, I've come into rest. In the name of Jesus, no more struggling for me. Now, admonishes them. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. You become diligent, listening to the word of God, diligent, studying, meditating. That's how you come into rest in any area of your life, as per that thing. Lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Next verse. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper. Did you see? It's the word of God. That's how you come into rest. So he's telling you about that word now. Than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's powerful. Please, let me leave that place. So otherwise, I'll just keep explaining that. Glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Just play something for me. Pray in the Holy Ghost. All right, thank you. Look up now. Look up. I want to show you something. Matthew chapter 28. 28th chapter, book of Matthew. Thank you. 20th verse. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, I want you to look at this word. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You think Jesus is lying about this? His word is dependable. If Jesus is telling us that he's with us always, in other words, anywhere you find yourself, anywhere, in any situation, he says he's there with you. He says he's there with you always, even to the end of the world. All right, now. Let me show you another one. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, the 13th chapter, actually. We will go to Amplified from the 5th verse. Let your conversation, okay? Amplified, all right. Let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possession, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with that which you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. If you were let down, it's not God. He doesn't let down. Listen, even when it's remaining just a minute for shame to come, as long as you stay with God, he'll show up for you. It becomes a bigger miracle that way. Not let you down. Relax my hold on you. He says, assuredly not, with exclamation. Next verse. So we take comfort. See, I'm comforted. And I encouraged. And confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What in the world can man do to me? You see, if you have a situation where you have to change something, these are the scriptures you put before you. You say, I will not be defeated. This will be part of my victory. This thing I'm focusing on, it will be part of my victory. I will get my trophy on this one. While you're there changing that thing, your focus. Lega, gagaba, so. The thing is not looking it, but don't look at the physical. Look into the realm of the spirit. Don't focus on the physical. Focus on the realm of the spirit. You're changing things. Be changing it from the realm of the spirit. Let me show you another scripture. Romans chapter number 8. We're talking about, you know, I just had to rewind a little to talk about, because it has to be deep. Because I know there's someone in this place that needs this word. Okay. Entering into his rest now. That's what I'm talking about. Talking about faith. 28th verse. And we know, we are not guessing, we know. You know, this man of God is so sure about this by the Spirit of God. He says, we know. He doesn't say, and we believe. We think so. We are guessing. We are not sure. He says, we know that all things. Now, the word know there is oida. And also, sometimes pronounced idol. Okay, Greek. It means we are aware. It means that it has come to our knowledge. It has come home in us. We have become aware. We are past guessing. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Do you love God? To them who are the called according to his purpose. If you are a Christian, you are the called according to God's purpose. He says, for you, everything. Listen, it's a law in the realm of the spirit. It cannot, this word cannot be broken. The only reason why this will not work is if you doubt it. You see why it's a sin. Jesus says something, you are doubting it. You are calling him a liar. You read it in the word of God, but you still act, you acted differently. What are you saying? He's lying. You can't trust him. He's not dependable. That's what you're saying. You may not be saying it with words, but that's what your actions are saying. You just read it. He said you have eternal life in you, but yet you are acting like there's no eternal life. The first thing you do when you are in a problem is you start thinking of the nurses and the doctors and the pharmacists. You don't even try to act your faith first. You see, you're calling him a liar. You're sinning against the gospel. This scripture is for me. Everything can only work together for my good. You see, you just felt like you were disappointed and you went back sad. No! You said, well, this is for my good too. This is for my... You ought to turn away from there and say, oh God, he's working for my good. This is for my good. And celebrate scripture. Celebrate it. Rejoice in it. That's how to come into rest in that area of your life. What does he say? Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. That's what it says. All right, let's go to the second one. This one, you need to master it very well. The second one, the sin of bitterness. The sin of bitterness. I want to show you something about that. Ecclesiastes chapter number 7, reading from the 9th verse. I want to give you one of the definitions, what it means to be bitter. All right, now, everybody read it. One, two, go. Are you sleeping? Shake off, shake it off. Read it. One, two, go. All right. Now, the resting of anger is bitterness. Is one of the definition for bitterness. When you permit anger to rest. Now, there's something. Anger just simply means that you were stirred. And the rate at which you get angry will be based on how much you have been able to dominate your emotions. Okay, as you journey in life, as you grow in spiritual things, you learn to dominate your emotions more. But anger itself is not the problem, because the Bible says, just ensure that when you are angry, don't sin. Which means don't do something nasty. Okay, but it says when that anger now rests, the word rest there means something that settles. You let it stay. Amplified version of this is even quite interesting. Amplified. Do not be quick in spirit to be angry or vexed. I'm just vexed. I'm vexed. I'm vexed. I'm irritated. He says, don't be quick to stop confessing that. For anger and vexation lodge. Like somebody will lodge in a hotel. In the bosom of fools. That means it comes there to take bed. A room that has AC. You understand? That's what it's talking about. Okay, now, when anger is lodging in you, that becomes bitterness. That's why it's always good when you are angry, it's always good for you to clear it there. Don't be a fool. There's nothing wrong with getting angry. It's just letting you rest. Okay, when you are angry about something, maybe with someone, according to how Jesus told us, call the person and sort it out right there and let it live your life. Otherwise, it will turn into bitterness. And bitterness is very terrible. I'll get there shortly. Okay, so this is one definition. Let me give you the second definition of bitterness. It is the feeling of betrayal. Okay, bitterness, that's another one. Now we talk about anger resting, that's one. The second one is the feeling of betrayal, when you feel betrayed or you've been displeased about something. It leads to bitterness. You felt betrayed. That's why so many people, when they were betrayed by their friends, brothers and sisters, and this is not just Christians, this also involves sometimes men and women of God. I had the story of a great woman of God. If I mention her name, you know her. Who died in bitterness. Thank God, God helped her. She didn't go to hell. But because of her bitterness, she couldn't make it. She died. Because one of the things that bitterness does is that it destroys the health. So her health was... She was loaded with the anointing. I mean, there was on one occasion that she wanted to, you'll find out if you want to find out, but I won't tell you the name, that she wanted to come into a crusade. And the crowd was too much where she was going to pass. And she had to go and pass through the kitchen. Whatever that was, maybe a hotel that has this event center or something, but that's all they used. There was no place to pass. She had to go and pass through the kitchen just for her to get into the hall, because there's no place to pass. And when she was passing through the kitchen, the cook were falling under the power. That's how anointed she was. But think of that, such a great woman of God died in bitterness. When she was supposed to, when her name was beginning to come up for Christ, when she was supposed to touch many more lives, her life was shortened because she felt betrayed by one of the members of her staff. Can you imagine? That's the problem of bitterness. Bitterness is so spiritual that it goes into the spirit. Let's look at something. Let me read to you. Bitterness robs one of God's blessings. Bitterness usually is like a blockade. It blocks blessings from being released. Some people don't know it. That's what bitterness does. It blocks blessings from being released. Bitterness. Some people don't know what they've done to themselves. Some people are very prayerful. But it's just this little thing that needs to be taken care of. And the devil is establishing you in it. That's the fact. That's how he acts. He makes you see every reason why, yes, it's true, it's true, it's true. It may block blessings, your blessings. See, I reject it in Jesus' name. B, it affects the health negatively. I just told you one story now. Let me read that to you. Proverbs chapter number 17, from the 22nd verse. Proverbs 17. Look at that. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Now, there's the difference between a merry body jumping around and a merry heart. Now, if your heart is merry, your body will follow suit. But then, I know that some people can deceive themselves. They can be jumping physically and the heart is sad. But it's talking about let it come from the heart. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. But a broken spirit, look at that term. A broken spirit dries the bones. You wonder why some people, they are not elderly enough. They already have arthritis, problem with their bones. Bitterness. Amplified version of this. A happy heart is good medicine. You know, the Bible says laughter is medicine. Interesting. A happy heart is good medicine, And a cheerful mind works healing. But a broken spirit dries up the bones.
Now, go back to the Amplified. I want to, King James, I want to tell you something. There's a word there that I need to bring out. The word broken there, Hebrew, nake. Okay? That's the word, broken there. It means afflicted. It means every time you are bitter, you are afflicting your own spirit. It also means to be wounded. You see, every time you're bitter about something, you are wounding your spirit. How do you now expect your spirit to function effectively? How? That's what it's talking about. That word there. What in the world is that thing that will now make you bitter? Listen, it's all right to be hungry, but you are now keeping it and you're thinking about it. Ah! Too dangerous. Did you know that Christians go to hell because of this thing? Is it worth it? Christians go to because of this sin, this bitterness, this sin of bitterness. Let me show you more. Again, it opens the door for frustrations, unhappiness, and blocks the Spirit of God from using you. You want to function in the anointing? Ah, don't deceive yourself. Once you have this bitter spirit, no matter what you are called to do in the house of God, the anointing will not just be there. You will be struggling by yourself to do it. Why? Bitterness. Proverbs chapter number 15. Verse 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. Did you see the word broken again? The same word, nake. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is nake. So you won't forget it. Is afflicted. Is wounded. Is punished. Tortured. How can you be doing all this to your spirits? Now, I wanted to look at what you just read very carefully, because something, we want to connect something now. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Crushed. Go to the 15th verse. Same book, same chapter. All the days of the afflicted. Remember, the spirit is afflicted. Then it says, for the afflicted. All the days of the afflicted are evil. But he that is of a merry heart had a continual feast. He doesn't understand. He's not just going forward in his life. There's something he has not dealt with. He wants to turn this way, disappointment. He turns this other way, blockade. He turns this other way, what is going on? What is going on? Deal with your spirit first. Listen, the reason is simple. Because there is nothing you can have in life until you have possessed it in your spirit first. That's the reason for the word of God. And your spirit must be well positioned to be able to possess things for your life. If you're going to live a better life, I must be honest with you. Your spirit must learn to take. If you don't take with your spirit, you will not have it. You may be confessing it with your mouth. You may confess and turn black-blue. You turn every way, every color. But if your spirit does not take it, listen, that's the reason why those who are loaded with the word can possess anything. Why? Because they are setting up their spirits for success, for greatness. Your spirit attracts to you. Just attracts to you what it desires. Is like a magnetic force. Some people attract dishonor. Some others attract honor. You can't understand. You say, why? The state of their spirits. So if your spirit is not worked on, and listen to me, don't be in that position where human beings offend you so much, it's not affecting your life. You were expecting somebody to be perfect. You're so wasting your time. Even Jesus didn't expect people to be perfect. Didn't you read in the scriptures? I want to remind you. The Bible says Jesus prayed all night. Have you ever read that in the scriptures? He prayed all night to do what? To choose 12 disciples. He spent the whole night praying just to choose 12 disciples. I don't want you to be distracted. Listen to this. Now, the Jesus that prayed all night to choose 12 disciples,
The disciples he chose, one of them is a thief. To choose 12 disciples, he prayed all night. But he chose a thief amongst them. Judas Iscariot. You never read it. He chose a talkative, Peter. He chose somebody that can doubt anything, Thomas. Thomas can doubt. He chose those who always love position. Who are they? John, James, the sons of Zebedee. He was one that chose them, but he prayed all night. If you were the one, would you say, it was a wasted prayer? You mean you prayed all your prayer, you were able to choose all this set of people and you call them disciples? Why? Because Jesus, listen, Jesus does not, he doesn't look for perfect people to do the job. He looks for men that are imperfect and puts them in position. As they work with him, he begins to perfect them. That's how he functions. But if you see anybody in any position and you think that one is already perfect, that's why he's there. No, you are missing it. It will affect you. So you have to learn to think smart. Listen, in your life, look beyond human actions. Face your own destiny. Because this thing is terrible. You may not know how intense this is. Glory to God. And that's why they've been problem with husband and wife. That's why they've kicked out each other, divorce all the time. Because the man was expecting the woman to be perfect. And the woman too was expecting the man to be perfect. Even if you married a pastor, you have to understand that he's still working on himself. So you were expecting, okay, when he was a pastor, you know, he has not spoken to you yet. So you respected him as a lady. You respected him and you're looking at him from the altar. You say, oh boy, this man is so perfect. Then you get into his house. And then you begin to discover some things. Then he says, what? You now feel disappointed. It's because you are a nepios. You yourself, you are a babe. If you understand spiritual things, you should know that you shouldn't expect too much from men. Why? Because there is still, the flesh is there. Don't you understand? This flesh is still there. As long as it's there, even if you want to do right, the flesh will always mess things up. So how do you see people? You see people the way Jesus sees them. We are working towards perfection. Don't look for anybody to please you. It's not important. It's not useful. It will rob you of your joy. Because nobody can actually please you. Nobody can. To look for people to please you is to be wasting your time. Listen, if you have one that is pleasing you, one day it will displease you. Because the day will come that it will act contrary based on his feeling for that moment. And you'll be disappointed. And then you'll now think the whole world hates you. Say everybody. Nobody is good. Including yourself. It's important. Okay, glory to God. Let me show you another thing. Bitterness usually comes with other things in the long run. Bitterness will invite anger. Of course, anger that has lasted leads to bitterness. But bitterness itself stirs up anger again. Unhappiness, rebellion, reservations. You begin to have your reservations. Including those that are supposed to help you. Because you saw his flaw. The guy messed up. But you don't know that that's one of your helpers of destiny. Because of that, you cut him off. You say, it's enough. I don't even want to. Because you're looking for private people, you cut him off. Say, I don't even want any friendship. Let him just stay on his own. You see, listen, I've learned a lot in my life. In my journey, I've learned. Because sometimes somebody you are proud to may just be the person that God has chosen to help you in life. That's why the Bible encourages us to be patient. Just play something for me gently. That's why the Bible encourages us to be patient. Tells us to be patient with one another. Then it talks about forbearance. Where you accept the other person the way he is. That's when life becomes, even you, that's when you enjoy your life. Because this thing will take away your peace. You have reservation. You are no longer free. And can I tell you, it is the nature of demons. Don't ever manifest the nature of demons. You are a child of God. Don't you ever see that? That's the way I think. I always think of how I can be better. How would Jesus have done this? Because that's the one I'm following. Always think, meditate a lot. I just want to do it like Jesus. How would Jesus do this? How? Jesus took whip and whipped people because he was angry. He whipped them out of that temple. He said, "You." He was panting. You turn my father's house to a den of robbers and thieves. They say, who told you to do this? He said, come again, try me. Did you know that the same set of people, he still came and preached to them? He still preached to them again. He didn't say because of you. Wait, everybody, wait. Those of you that are with the other time, if you are here, get out. He didn't say so. He preached to them. The same people that killed him and put him on the cross. He was about to die. They were laughing at him. They were mocking him. While he was still there, he said, Father, forgive them. Ah. Somebody would have said, oh God. If I were the one right there. Father, I'm greater than Elijah. I call down fire to destroy them. That's what he would have done. Because he is greater than Elijah. Elijah called down fire. He would have called more than fire to destroy them. But he still prayed for them. His captors. He prayed for them. He says, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. As far as he is concerned, they don't know. The devil is using them. The flesh is pushing them. Have you ever seen that? That human beings could be used by the flesh or by the devil? Or have you even checked yourself whether you were the problem? You know how we do it? We exclude ourselves. Everybody else has issues except us. We are the only perfect one here. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You are guilty about this now. But the time comes that I've told you this before. Let your anger always be on the surface. When you get angry, be quick to come out. Why will you be entangling yourself in this anger? And you're now keeping malice with the person. Some people have roommates that they don't talk with for days. Everybody just, The same room. It's not the nature of God. Until you open the door for the devil, and he will now come and settle down completely. Now you can't think straight. He's filling you with hatred. You used to have love. You used to be wonderful and kind. But all of a sudden, something has changed. You gave room to demons. And now they are working on your emotions now. Hatred. The very people you loved and cherished, you started hating them. That's never the nature of God. As a spiritual being, you have the Holy Spirit. Give yourself to the Spirit of God. And it comes with a price. The price is you should learn to forgive easily. If there is something that you know that this thing is not going in your heart, it's coming back, and it's somebody who did it to you, the best way to sort it out, call the person for my spiritual work. That's what you think of my spiritual work. Call the person and say, this. And then you will settle it right there. And then there are other times too that you may be wrong. The person you are even holding this thing against may not even see it that way. Until when you've called, you will not be disappointed. So that was not it. No, that's not what happened. You see, you now feel like a fool. That's why it's good to call and sort it out. Because without him knowing, you may still be carrying the thing everywhere. Your spiritual growth slowing down. Because you see, you are limiting the Spirit of God from using you. He wants to use you. You won't let him use you. But every time you are crying, Father, use me more! Use me more! The Spirit of God wants to come in, but bitterness drives him. You see, he can't use you. The anointing would have been stronger, but bitterness will not let it. Why? Because everything God does, he does from your spirit. And if your spirit is not permitting it, he can't do it. He can't do it. There's nothing. He doesn't do anything with your body. Whatever you see done with your body flows from your spirit. So if you don't present your spirit for him, how will he use you? This is why you must be smart in your life. No human being is worth it to now destabilize your journey. Who in the world is that fellow? Did he die for me? My focus is on Jesus, not on men. You see, when you have your focus on men, you'll be angry every time. But when you have your focus on Jesus, you don't care. You don't just care about what any man does. See it as one of the limitations of human beings, weaknesses of men. Don't focus on that. Focus on Jesus.
The Bible says he's the author and perfecter of our faith. Lift your hand and pray and talk to the Lord. Talk to him to help your journey. Just talk to him. If there's anyone in your heart that you've been bitter against, just release that person. It's not worth it at all. Can you be holding? Who in the world is that fellow? Release the person. Let it go. Let it go. It's not worth it. You are too precious to the Holy Spirit to be holding people in your heart. You are too precious. You, this special you, holding somebody. No, in your heart, you wouldn't do so. You're too precious. You have a great destiny to be having bitterness. Your spirit is too pure and perfect for you to be abhorring bitterness there, to be engaging in bitterness and embracing bitterness. No, you are a man of God. You are a woman of God. You are that one that has God on the inside.
This message was produced by Supreme Supernatural Kingdom Church. To get more of our messages, call 0816-0114-389. Thank you and God bless you.